You might be able to see from the title of the message this morning, you might know this, Micah 6:8. There was a song we used to sing a great deal when I was young from this verse. It gets stuck in your head really, really good. If you don't know it, I think you're going to hear it later on this morning. And I just want to show you a scripture first off, and I'm not going to show you Micah 6:8. If you can read that jumbled mess, you know it. Some of you probably know it off by heart. Close, can I see that first scripture, though, from James? Just because, oh boy, that didn't fit on there properly. Oh, I did a silly thing. Sorry about that, folks. It seems to make the slide funny, but nonetheless, well, let's get the scripture for you to show some of the heart of what we're thinking about this morning from James. He says, anybody who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like somebody who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, that sounds silly, doesn't it? How can anybody be like that? And you understand what the point of the text is, right? And James is talking about, we can't be merely hearers of the word and say, oh yeah, yeah, I've heard the word, I get it, I agree with the word of God. We are supposed to be doers of the word. We need to hear God's word and then apply it in our lives and do it. And this passage that we look at this morning from Micah 6:8 is such an interesting little summary of a way that God is encapsulating. You want to know how to walk in the faith and how to walk in the Christian life, saying, I give you three simple points, just really easy, bang, 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 to give you kind of a framework of what that looks like. Here it is, and go and do it. Go and do it. So this is Micah 6:8. Let's take a look at that. Oh, we've changed. Okay, can we get that next slide then? There we go. Oh, that's great. You guys know this, I'm sure, right? He's told you. Oh man, what is good? Well, what does the Lord require of you? But this, do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. This is the framework this morning of what we're talking about. You can see right in there built in easily 3 points. We're going to talk about those 3 points. I'm going to say it again because I want you to go away this morning with this scripture just going through your head and your heart. Like it's part of your soul. He's told you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice. Love kindness. And walk humbly with your God. Now the question really comes, like if you think on this scripture for a second and not just the little song that you might know that goes with it or whatever, but thinking on this text, this is God's word to you today. Are we applying this in our hearts and in our lives? Are we doing it? Do you actually do justice? You know, it's one thing for us to agree with it. We say, you know, if a policeman catches a criminal or whatever, and I agree with that, and that's good. I want justice to exist in this world. And I agree every time that I see it happening. But are you doing it? Well, I'm not the judge. I'm not a policeman. How am I going to do justice? Well, there are different levels of justice, of course. And this morning, we were going to try and bring that down to a personal level, the area where it gets really easy for us, where you do justice. Similarly, kindness. Do I really love kindness? That's a pretty strong expression, isn't it? We all agree people should be kind. Mostly, we all can agree that people should be kind to me, right? I can see all kinds of people in the world that aren't very kind, not very kind to me. It's a little harder for us to get a really good soul reflective take a look at ourselves. Are we be good at being kind to others? And you can see, well, I try, I'm kind. Oh, but do you love it? Do you love it? Love it means that everybody knows. That's your reputation. Oh man, it's so wonderful to see that person walking down the street and coming near you because they're always so kind. That person just loves kindness. And it's just brilliant being around them. You feel good because they don't just agree with it, they love it. Justice. Let me show you a passage here from Isaiah. If we want to think about, do I do justice? Isaiah gives us a little bit of a picture, not just the court, not just the cops, whatever. This is what it looks like a little bit to God, but as people do justice. Isaiah 1:17, it says, learn to do good. This is speaking to everybody. This is not speaking to the king. Learn to do good and seek justice. correct oppression. Oh, I start getting a picture here of what justice looks like, right? Correcting oppression. What does that mean? If you see somebody being oppressed, somebody stronger is bullying them or something, you know, somebody's being taken advantage of, the oppressed. Are we doing something about that to correct oppression? Can you identify that somewhere in your life? Were you correcting oppression? Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. Why are they picking on people like this? Because other people who have a network or have power, have people around them and have money and influence and who can get justice for themselves. They're just saying, well, this is what the people of God do, though. They see the people who have nobody to stand up for them, and they come along and try and bring life and help to them at their point of need. Now, for me, I think of Micah 6:8, and I'm humbled because God is setting a standard where I can see in my own life falling short, and I'm humbled. I hope that's the case for you too. And in fact, that's really, really good news, because the last point that he has in Micah 6:8, after that we do justice and love kindness, is that we would walk humbly with our God. So if you come into his word and it humbles you, that's really good news. You're on the right path that he wants you to be on, to walk humbly with him. That's how it's going to work. That's how we're going to be in the position where we all of a sudden become people who love kindness and do justice, because we are walking humbly with our God. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. So the first task we're taking on this morning is justice. Do justice. It'd be easier, you know, if the expressions here were switched a little bit. We're told to love kindness. It'd be nice if it was told that you should love justice. That is really easy, and lots of people love justice. We love it when we see the bad guy get what's coming to him. Of course, we love it. But if we love justice, it's usually somebody else who's doing it, and we're just in the background applauding. Ah, that is great. I love that when that happens. The underdog came back and he won or whatever, or the bad guy got his what was coming to him. It's easier, especially when others do it. But the Christian life really is not meant to be overly passive. God calls us to engage. He calls us to do it. Do it. Do justice. Well, can we do justice in everyday fashion? What is justice? To act justly towards somebody else. What is that? It's basically just to treat people fair, with some honesty. I want to show you an example out of Luke. This is John the Baptist. Can we see that next passage out of Luke? Because here's some people. John the Baptist was teaching a teaching of repentance, right? You need to change, get your life in order. And people were coming to John, they're saying, okay, I believe and I want to repent. What does it look like? How do I do that, John? And here's what he was saying in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 13 and maybe 14. John says, if anybody's got two shirts, he should share with one who has none. Oh, we're defending the fatherless, and we're taking care of the widow, and we're standing up for the oppressed. Out of our own pocket. Out of our own pocket. We see people in need, and we're doing something about the need. I've got two shirts, he's got none, I'll give him one. Anybody who has food should do the same. There were even some tax collectors there getting baptized, and everybody, of course, was repelled by them. Everybody thought they were crooked. They're the ones who were robbing everybody. They're the ones who are oppressing people. But there these tax collectors getting baptized, and they're saying, we want to change. We want to be godly. We want to do what God wants of us. So, teacher, what should we do? He doesn't tell them, look, you all have to quit being tax collectors. No, it's still a legitimate profession. You do your job. But he says, don't rip anybody off anymore. Don't collect any more than you are required. And that was one of the things that they were able to do to get rich. He's saying, don't rip anybody off. This is not hard, is it? It's not actually very hard. Just quit robbing people. Let's look at verse 14, because he just adds to it a little bit there. there were some soldiers who asked him, "What should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Because a soldier has the ability to not manipulate, bully is a better word. Bully, influence somebody. I can get more out of you because I've got strength over you for some reason or other, either because I've got the gun or I've got the army behind me or I've got my big business behind me or whatever it is. I can bully you and I can extort. Don't do that. Just be fair. Just be honest. Just be straight. Don't rip anybody off. Start to do justice. Pay your own way. Make sure you pay your employees. Don't rip anybody off. Justice is something very, very concrete in our lives. It's something that we do. And you can get this down to a much more simpler level. So I'm not a soldier. I'm not the tax man. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Where am I doing justice? You know what, you can have two kids in the house having a good squabble. And I don't know if this happens to any of you. It did not happen to me. I don't have any favorites, my children. I heard that some people do that, though. Two kids are squabbling. Mom, are you allowed to say, you know, this one's better off or whatever than that? No, of course not, right? Can't we do justice at home? With our kids, let's be fair. What's going on here? And treat them accordingly. Not just favor the younger, not just favor the older, not just favor the better looking. God don't give me no ugly babies, so I didn't have that problem. Be fair. Be fair. Let me show you Proverbs 11, verse 1. It's just talking about honesty. Friends, this is in the context of justice. This is bringing justice down from the high exalted courts and bringing it right into our daily lives. Be honest. Proverbs 11:1, the Lord detests dishonest scales. You know what he's talking about there? Like somebody's at your business and they're paying up and settling the bill. You guys ever been somewhere where they're like, I got my car repaired one time and the guy throws in the bill. He's like, well, just shop parts and whatever else and $50. And I'm like, $50 for shop parts. I said, what is that? He says, well, we use some rags to wipe up a little mess. $50 for rags, is that right? Is that fair? Is that honest? Well, no, it's not fair. They took it off my bill. And well, thank you. Where else are you ripping me off? Just be fair. Be honest. The Lord detests dishonest scales. He hates it. If we're just trying to get ahead of it, this is business. I got to do this. He hates it. Accurate weights bring favor with him. No favoritism. Favoritism breeds temptation. So justice. We can do this very practically in our own life. Get it to a small, sizable scale and do it. And then there was kindness. To love kindness. You know, this sounds so basic. It doesn't say anything about, it's not talking here about some grand gestures or some kind of sweeping thing or go change the world. No, the Lord is saying, be kind. You know how many marriages struggle for the simple fact that a spouse has trouble just being kind? Just be kind. Quit with the snarky remarks. Quit with the this and the that or the cold shoulder. Be kind. It's so basic, yet in so many places, even in intimate, important places like the home, sometimes it's terribly missing. Easy. Be kind. Love kindness. You know, we're not told to do it like justice. We're told to love it. Because if we love kindness, it transforms who we are. It's hard to find somebody who's overly selfish who loves kindness. A person who's selfish is a hard person to live with and be around too much. Because you are always getting the short end of the stick while they are always taking, 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 and it's about them and it's their world, and you're like the servant or whatever who lives in their orbit. But if you're living with somebody who loves kindness, they have great difficulty being selfish. because they're thinking about, well, I could meet your need. I could be generous. And we love being with these people. And like when I was a boy and going to grandma's house, like no kidding. She was so kind. Out of this world kind of kindness. When I was a boy, there was no better place on the planet to be than grandma's house. She couldn't sing good. She baked okay. She was so kind. And you felt so loved. It was the best place to be. Just kindness. Love it so that it becomes who we are. Can I show you 1 Corinthians 13? You guys know 1 Corinthians 13 is the passage that's all about love. Do you guys remember this passage well enough to know that the very first pairing, the very first thing that it's saying about love is just to be kind? Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. Let me show you Colossians 3:12 now too. I know that you know this passage. Just so you can see the similar refrain from the Lord speaking to us, the same thing in a different way. Colossians 3:12, he says, "Therefore, just as you are God's chosen people, the church, holy, you're dearly loved," this is the response that's appropriate. "Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." If you don't know what kindness is, if you don't know what it looks like, take a look at this verse because it's flushed out with all these other adjectives that are around it, right? Compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. This is describing to us what a kind person is like. It's a beautiful thing. So basic, yet so easily overlooked. You guys know that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And so when you meet somebody and you know somebody who's a believer, who's a Christian person, who has difficulty being basic kindness, it's a concern. Think about if the Spirit is overwhelmingly being active in your life, some of this should start to be working in. God should be working this into a person's life. Kindness. Time to check our pulse and see where we are. Spirit-filled. You know, kindness is the kind of thing that we really wear on our sleeve, or the lack of it. It's just evident to everybody, isn't it? It's evident to everybody. It's just out there. We can say, "I really love justice." You don't have to have any evidence of that. It's just something that you say. How do I know? You told me you love justice. I agree. How do I know if you love justice or not? But if you say you love kindness, if you don't, people know. They can see. They can see it. Let me just show you Exodus 34, because this is really the character of God. When God is trying to describe who He is so that we can know Him and we can trust Him and we can love Him, He says, "I'm a kind God." Trying to give His name to Moses and describe who He is in Exodus 34:6, He says, "The Lord passed before Moses," and this is what He proclaimed. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." He's trying to set up the entire nation of Israel through Moses by declaring through Moses, "This is who I am. Make sure the world knows, make sure the whole nation knows, this is what I am. You've seen the fire that came down on Sinai. You've seen me part the Red Sea. You've seen that I'm a God of power, but I need you to know what I'm all about. I'm a God of compassion, mercy, grace, slow to anger. I'm a kind God." And you know what? This is so good for us. Let me show you Romans chapter 2. Our very salvation actually depends on God being kind. And our salvation is secured because of how good He is. Romans 2:4. "Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness? You know, the fact that God in His justice, if God is only a just God, how many of us could survive a day on this planet without His wind blasting us right off? Not a one. If our God was only a just God, each one of us would be squished by now or gone. But our God is a kind God. It's who He is. Kindness, forbearance, and patience. We should remember and realize that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we see in the Scripture, Romans chapter 8, 1. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did not come so that He could ruin people's lives, so that He could say, I'm the King and I'm righteous and I'm good and you're not as good. You're wrong. That's not what Jesus does. He continues to show His kindness, to draw people into His repentance. Come be in a right relationship with me because I'm kind and loving and I want you there with me. Do justice. Love kindness. And the ultimate result was what? We would have a life where we walk humbly with God. This is our last point. Walking humbly with God. Let me just show you an invitation that Jesus gives that paints a picture a little bit like this. It's from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus gives this invitation. Come walk humbly with me. He says, come. Come to me, all of you. If you're weary, you're burdened, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on upon you and learn from me. Why? Because I am gentle, humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. So Jesus has an invitation. Come. Come and walk humbly with me. You're just talking about a yoke here where we yoke up with Him and we walk together forever with Jesus. And He's painting this picture of what the walk will be like. He says, because I'm gentle and I'm lowly. Right? It's very much like saying I'm humble. He's certainly not saying because I'm abusive and I'm a taskmaster because I can get stuff done. You come with me, we'll conquer the world. No, that's not what He's saying. He says, come to me. I'll take care of you because I'm gentle, humble, and lowly. You know, people came to Jesus. Jesus didn't stand on the street corner and then proclaim to people, I'm gentle and lowly, come to me. People came to Jesus because they could see that He was gentle and lowly. They could see it. He wore it on His sleeve. It was impossible not to see, not to notice what a good man that He was, what a kind man that He was. He stopped for everybody, concerned about everybody, and loved everybody. He was the safest place in the world to be. Now, I just want to show you a passage now out of Hebrews. It's actually talking about how Jesus treated people. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Speaking back about Jesus, it says, He was able to deal gently with those who were ignorant and going astray, since He Himself was subject to weakness. Talking about the fact that God took on flesh and came and lived amongst us and suffered the kinds of things that we suffered. And then this still is the ministry of Jesus today, that He walks humbly amongst His people. He comes and walks along the churches. Revelations 2 and 3 tells us about that. Jesus walking amongst the churches and being amongst His people. And He comes in very, very humbly. And He's looking for humble souls who want to team up with Him and walk with Him. How are we going to do this? How are we going to walk humbly with God so that we play out what the rest of the Scripture has told us, that we would do justice and that we would love kindness? How are we going to do it? I think one of the first things that's so important for us is to understand the doctrine of sin. There's hardly anything more humbling than to come to terms with a verse like Romans 3:23 that tells us that all have sinned. And there's no way that you can say all except for Mitch, right? No, when the Bible says all, right, we know that's me too. All of us have sinned. Me too. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we get humbled by a passage like that, and we have an exchange with somebody else, we've got a problem with somebody else, And we can feel very much like I'm in the right and they're in the wrong. Say, well, maybe I'm a little bit wrong, but they're a lot wrong, whatever, you know, right? And we've got that difficulty with somebody else. And if we can remember, well, I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And the person I'm having a difficulty with, they also are a sinner. Shrouded under the kindness and the grace of God. And I'm humbled. Who am I to be sticking my finger too hard at somebody else? I should be humble. Begin to walk humbly with my God and amongst his people. And to love kindness. Micah 6:8. Do justice, love kindness. You know what? If we start to feel humbled by this passage, God's putting us in the right spot. Have we already seen Romans 2:4? Can we see that again? That we see in God's kindness, even as we remember the doctrine of sin, that he has forgiven us. And reflecting on God's goodness really ought to humble us to walk with him. But you know what? This is such a beautiful thing. Some people are scared to death of this. Like, I wouldn't want to acknowledge my sin. I got too much pride for that. I wouldn't want anybody thinking that I ever did anything wrong. You know, this is actually an incredible gift of God. This is one of the most freeing things that's available in this life. That when a person can recognize their own sin and give it over to God and have him just take it because he's so gracious and good. That's what he does. That's what the cross is. That's what we celebrate at communion. He says, if you come and walk humbly with me in recognition of your sin, I'll take it. The guilt that we bear for it, the anger that it stirs up within us because we got that sin harboring in the back, we know we've done wrong, he takes it, and we become free. We become free so that we can live with the peace and patience that he talks about, and then we can begin to have this kind of kindness. And then we're free to do justice. It's so hard to be doing justice for anybody else in the world when we're fighting with ourselves. Like we're fighting for our own rights all the time. We spend all my energy and all my time fighting for my own rights. Somebody else has wronged me, and we're just mad all the time. Somebody's wronged me, and I got to get what's mine, and I got to fight back, and I got to rah, rah. We're never, ever doing justice for anybody else when we're living like that. We're just fighting for ourselves. But if we can give it to God, what a freeing gift. The path of Micah 6:8 that God calls us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God, God himself has done, and he shows us exactly the way. God has done this. God has done this and shown it to us. Can I just show you quickly as we close this path of God? Ephesians 2, verse 7, the kindness of God. In the coming ages, it says, he will show the incomparable riches of his grace. I love that expression. It's so beautiful. There's so much in here. Just to meditate on for a second. The grace of God, which has saved our souls and forgiven our sins. If you think you know anything about the grace of God, a scripture like this is saying it's incomparable. You can't even match. You can't comprehend how awesome is the grace of God available to you and I. And in the coming age, he's going to show us the extent of this incomparable riches of his grace. And it's expressed to us in this, the kindness of Jesus Christ. The kindness. He's so kind that when I was a younger man and I had my back to him and was walking away from him, he was so kind that he kept coming after me. When I was thinking, I don't want nothing to do with you, and I was ready to tell him to buzz off and leave me alone for the rest of my life, he was so kind that he didn't do that. He just kept on gently, nice, coming after me because he loves. And even now that I'm a born-again, saved believer, and every once in a while I'm still so stupid that I'm not doing the things that God wants, he's still so kind. And he comes and gently grabs my heart and tries to turn me in the right way the riches of the kindness of Christ. It's the only place to live. And his justice, Romans 3:26, his justice is this: God has presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his own blood to be received by us by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith. This is the justice of God. It's incredible. To us, justice, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, limb for a limb. To God, justice is this: my people are oppressed. My people are weakened. So I will go and I will commit justice for them to give the life of my own son. I will give my own life so that they can be freed. I will give my own life so that they can be empowered. I will give my own life so that they can be blessed and have everlasting life. It's the justice of God. It's incredible. Having lived and died in perfect humility, let me show you Philippians 2, walking humbly with our God. Skipping one verse here, but Philippians 2, 5, 7, and 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset that God has, that Christ Jesus has. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. What is walking humbly with your God going to look like today? What is walking humbly with your God going to look like this week? When Jesus has painted a portrait for us with his own life, to walk so humbly that he came to serve us, he came to bless us. When he had everything, and yet he chose to humble himself so that he could give it to you and me. This is a week we encourage you to walk humbly with your God. It's God's gift to us. He has walked the righteous path, and he's calling you to come walk it with him. Church, I'm going to invite you to worship with me in a word of prayer before the worship team comes back, and we're going to have some songs to close where it's a good time for you to meditate on how the Lord may speak to you today and respond to him by giving him your yes. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we just love you. There's nothing on this earth that compares. There's no light that shines like you. There's no representation of love in this world anywhere that comes close to the love of God, to the love of Jesus Christ. This which you've poured out for us, we see it in the cross, but not only in the cross. We see it every day, again and again, every day. You're always faithful. You're always good. You're always steady, and you always love. Lord Jesus, this is the day we worship you for your faithful goodness. We ask that you would set us on that good course to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.